This is F1 Debrief episode 82. I'll talk to the Queen about one of those OBE things. Coming up on today's show, we discuss new tracks, new drivers, and new rules. I had a message on Facebook this week, and it was from Arthur, and he said, "So after the 2008 season ends, are you still going to regularly post new podcasts? I'm wondering how I will get my F1 fix until next year." And I replied, "Oh yeah, there's no such thing as the off-season inside podcast world."
There wasn't last year.
No.
That was because there was an awful lot going on in terms of espionage, a Cool Fuels saga business that never ended, and a world championship that went on forever and ever and ever.
Yes.
None of that is expected to happen, fingers crossed, this year.
Yep.
Oh, we're still going to podcast though, are we?
Of course.
No time off. Every week?
You want a break, do you?
We've got a lot to fit in, actually, in the off-season. We've got more interviews, more quizzes, more panels, and it's all go. It's not going to stop, is it? I'm quite looking forward to it.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for the Portuguese, as it looks like there'll be an F1 test at the brand new Algarve track in December. McLaren and Honda both confirmed they'll be there. Ferrari have said they might be, and the others will probably follow. The track may get included on the official test schedule, and they want to get it into the calendar at some point in the future. It rivals the Paul Ricard high-tech test track, as it can have tons of different configurations and can simulate wet conditions.
Bernie wants out of Paul Ricard, doesn't he? He hasn't sold it yet, has he? Correct me if I'm
wrong. I don't think so.
I think someone in the live comments may have to just back me up on that one. But I do believe he wants to get rid of it. And I can see him being very happy if the Algarve take over that position.
It's been a bad week for Nigel Stepney, as the whole white powder gate thing has reared its ugly head again. Investigations in Italy are now complete, and the white powder is some kind of organic substance that would have caused the engine to seize. The powder was on Stepney's trousers and in his house, but his lawyer says there's still no proof that it had anything to do with him.
I want to know where his book is. I've been looking forward to it for a very long time.
He promised us a book.
Yep, and I'm sure if, you know, given the opportunity to say everything that he wants to say, it shouldn't be missed in this instance. And there's no word of it, and there's no sign of it, and we don't know what's happening with it, but I bet it contains a lot of juicy information.
It's been a good week for Montreal. The mayor and some officials flew to London to meet with Bernie Ecclestone, and he's been quiet ever since. But the mayor, Gerald Tremblay, says he's optimistic. He said they understand each other better and there are issues to be worked on, but it is still possible to hold a Grand Prix in Montreal in 2009 and subsequent years.
So when he says they understand each other better, Bernie says they haven't paid, and now he agrees.
Yeah, I think
that's basically the sum of that.
Yeah, they've gone off looking for some more money.
Yeah, originally they said, "Oh, we don't know what's going on. It's news to us. We've paid our bills. What's the problem?" Now suddenly they're all getting along fine, and they understand each other.
It's been a bad week for Ferrari, as MotoGP superstar Valentino Rossi says he's in talks with them for another F1 test. He may or may not be any good, but I think it's a bad week for them because they've been through this before and there isn't any room for him in the team anyway.
There isn't, actually. And he messed them around last time, didn't he? He said, "Oh, I want to be in your team. Wouldn't it be great for marketing? You know, I'm Italian and people love me and Formula One need me."
Yeah.
He wasn't very good. He wasted an awful lot of time. And then he went, "Oh, yeah, I quite like bikes, really."
News and views.
This week was the big meeting between the FOTA and the FIA. Everything was going to be sorted out once and for all. So firstly, Max issued a letter to the FOTA with some basic points for the agenda.
Okay, what was on that, that letter?
He said they wanted to discuss the fact that more teams could leave, and with two vacancies already, the FIA were worried that the grid would become unacceptably small.
Sounds fair enough.
One of the points was, "We envisage a downsized DI engine with exhaust energy and heat recovery coupled to an electrically actuated gearbox." I don't know what that means.
Yes.
It sounds like Ron speak to me.
He's turned into the man he's always hated, hasn't he? That is Ron speak. What it, essentially a direct injection engine, which is energy efficient. Exhaust and heat energy recovery.
I get that bit.
Which we've argued for a long time. It's much better than recovering energy from braking. An electrically actuated gearbox. That's a flappy paddle thing, right?
Is that what that means?
That must be the technical term for that thing.
Flappy
paddle. Not H-paddle shift.
Okay, I understand. So the agenda also would include standard engines, cheaper engines for customer teams, tighter regulations, many more standard chassis parts. Oh, and if you want to change any of the race procedures, we'd like to hear that too.
Right. So that's what he sent out.
That's what the agenda said.
Okay.
After the meeting, we had engine life increased from 2 to 3 races. Manufacturers have to make 25 engines available for customer teams, and they're now at a set price of €10 million. And there'll be more meetings later.
So nothing.
That's it.
Nothing that was on his original list.
What a letdown.
I think we need a new jingle for Max. And it's Max's made-up news.
Max has made up news.
Every week he makes up some story that causes all sorts of consternation on the web, creates loads of news reports and fills all sorts of column inches and gets loads of commenters and forum members all riled up, and they all turn to nothing. And that's what he's done here. He's more Max has made up news.
I am curious how they came to the 25 engine figure, because if you're having three race engines, that means they need, say, six per car.
Hold on, how are you working that out?
For the calendar.
Right. Yes.
If there was 17, 18 races, that kind of, we're not sure exactly how many there'll be.
Okay, so if there's an 18 race calendar, you need six per car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two cars, that's 12. Now, obviously, they'll need some for some spares and some testing and stuff. But how'd they come up with 25? It seems like an awful lot.
Well, it depends. It does depend on how much they're going to restrict.
More than double what you actually need.
Testing. Well, you've got Fridays.
Yeah.
We don't know how long those engines have to last. Presumably, there's going to be a limit on that. But yeah, 25 is a rather random number. When you've got two cars, and 17 races, presuming that Canada's gone but France stays, I'm not sure how you get to 25 either. But that's that. He was very specific. That's what they've got to provide.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens if the team runs out.
There were actually only two people from the FOTA at the meeting, Luca de Montesemolo and John Howitt.
Yes.
And de Montesemolo says he was pleased with the outcome of the meeting. I mean, I don't see how you can be mad at it because they didn't decide anything.
No. Well, they agree to have more meetings,
yeah.
Which is always a good meeting, I find.
And he also said, finally, we will have an economical Formula One. Really? With two decisions? Seems a bit premature.
They must have decided something else than that, because there's no decisions there at all, is it? I mean, I like the idea of an increased engine life for one more race.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable. I wonder what happens to the Joker, though.
On the subject of de Montesemolo, and this is actually a different news story, he wants the team orders ruling changed. Well, he would say that, wouldn't he? But he told Gazzetta dello Sport, I'll talk about it with Moseley. We need to get rid of this hypocrisy. The important thing is not to damage others. Beside that, teamwork in a team sport is one of the best things. Think of a cyclist leading the sprint for another. So, I mean, I agree to a point. There's no point pretending that Kimi, you know, didn't let Massa pass.
Sure.
Because he did. But we don't want it to become a problem again.
Well, I would take this criticism from anybody. And I mean anybody but that man.
Yeah.
Ross Brawn or Jean Todt. Seriously, apart from Luca, Ross and John, they were the people, they were the architects of their own downfall in this situation.
Yeah.
And they, none of those three have any right to
decide, say it's a hypocrisy.
To call anyone, but yeah, to call anyone on this decision, because they made the blatant and frankly idiotic decision to do what they did in Austria, and now they should suffer. So yes, I do understand what he's saying. Yes, he does have a point, but not from that man.
We mentioned earlier that Valentino Rossi wants a race seat,
yes,
in Formula One. Paul di Resta, he wants a seat, thinks he might be in with the chance.
Yeah.
And Degrassi, he wants a race seat for next year as well. Where are they all going to fit?
There's not much left, actually.
There's only three teams, I think, that haven't confirmed.
Okay,
Honda, yep. Renault and Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Not sure if Toyota have actually confirmed theirs, but...
They did say they'd confirm the same drivers, didn't they? But maybe it's not made official.
I don't know whether it...
Was it retracted immediately after it was said?
It wasn't retracted, but I'm just not sure it was a proper confirmation.
Swept under the carpet. We're going to keep our drivers, but we're just not going to announce it ever.
Yeah.
Even though they have announced their car. Launched
They're
day,
launching
they?
The car, yeah.
But
How
no,
early is that?
Yeah, but they haven't officially announced their drivers.
Nicholas Todd said he's really confident Bourdais will manage to retain his seat.
Yay! Is he now? Now, this is suspicious, I find.
Is it?
Well, it does occur to me.
He's not that bad.
But what, Bourdais?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is we were trying to work out how it was that Toro Rosso have got the best and the latest Ferrari engines, and we're not too sure that Force India have the same. It's a bit undecided whether or not they have the power advantage that Toro Rosso do.
Right.
And it's unusual for a Ferrari customer engine, Ferrari customer team to have the latest spec engines. But we know that they have pretty decent motors because they're ahead of their sister team.
Yeah.
And Vettel won a race.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's not related in some way to Nicholas Todd managing Sebastian Bourdais. And if it is, I'd say Bourdais is a shoe-in for next year if they want the latest Ferrari spec engines.
So Bourdais is managed by Nicholas Todd, who is the son of Jean Todd, who is very much Ferrari.
Still associated with Ferrari, still hanging around in the garage. And maybe Nicholas said to John, hey, how about giving us the latest spec engines? But we'll show up Renault.
If Bourdais did that, then surely he'd be guaranteed a seat.
Well, that's true. But maybe he's trying to make it look like he's not going to get... Maybe Gerhard Berger's trying to like shoo it away and say, oh, he's not really in with a seat. And Bourdais going, oh, I don't know if I got a chance.
Is it all a ruse?
And then Nicholas Todd goes, yeah, it's fine. I'm very confident.
I wrote a blog post this week about Coulthard, but actually, in researching that, I found... a very interesting fact that we haven't had any driver changes this season, like mid-season changes.
Right.
So it's kept the same drivers from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's like the first time ever that's really? Happened.
Wow, that is quite interesting. Why do you think that might be?
I don't know, because everyone is okay. No major injuries.
No. No one's been so bad that they deserve to be... Well, some people have been so bad that they deserve to be fired.
Not really, really bad, like dangerously bad or
no.
anything.
No. No Sakon Yamamoto.
I mean, we've said a couple of times, oh, I'll get him out of that team.
Yes.
But turns out we were wrong.
No Yuji Ide's?
No.
Well, we did say at the beginning that Yamasa should go. How yeah. wrong were we there?
Exactly.
And we said Piquet should go, and he's come back on strong. I'm still dubious about Kazuki Nakajima. I do wonder whether or not he really deserves that seat. But yeah, no driver changes at all, and no words to bail out early.
No driver changes mid-season, and it looks like there'll be few from one season to the next. Everyone is just happy with their lot.
Really?
Yeah.
So between this season and next season, almost nobody's going to move?
Pretty much.
Wow. That's almost boring.
Yeah.
Wow. No silly season this year then?
No, it's a sensible season. It's time once again for TED News.
It's the penultimate TED News. I think we almost need a new jingle for that one.
What, it goes, ba-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, penultimate TED News.
It is. Well, it is, isn't it? Because he's just done his review of the Chinese Grand Prix.
Yeah, we're going to talk about his Shanghai notebook.
Mm, and then he's got one more to come, which is going to be the Brazil notebook. Yeah. And then...
That's it.
That's. I'm guessing the ITV website's just going to go off air.
Then we're going to hire him.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously.
Okay, the penultimate TED News. And if he doesn't say anything interesting in Brazil... God forbid, I'm sure he will. But if he doesn't say...
This is TED we're talking about.
If he doesn't, this may well be the very last TED News.
There were two things interesting in his Shanghai notebook. The first one is that Raikkonen likes the car without the fin. Now, we thought this before.
Well, you could see it.
Yeah.
He was driving it without the fin. Massa had it, he didn't.
But it seems much more obvious now that he's suddenly come to life again at the end of the season.
Ah, okay. So he's qualifying better without it.
Yeah.
So do you think that was part of the... problem with his he's had with his season since they introduced the fin, he's struggled.
Well, Ted says they've discovered that the engine cover adds to the understeer of the car, and Kimi prefers the back to be a bit more slidey.
Right.
And he said
so it's too stable for Kimi
with the fin. Yeah,
interesting.
That's what he said. Ted says it may have taken Raikkonen 17 races to perfect the setup on the car, but it looks like they've aced it now. Who would bet against Kimi out qualifying and out racing Massa again in Brazil next week, which would be a bit embarrassing.
Wow. So Ted is tipping Kimi to beat Massa in qualifying at his home race.
Yes.
Just because of the fin.
Well, he's got it sorted now.
Kimi's advantage, if that's the case, is next year they're banned, aren't they? No teams will be able to run those fins next year.
But if they knew that, I mean, because when they first brought it in, he ran it with and without, didn't he? And he couldn't decide whether he liked it or not.
Nope.
And obviously, they must have realised that he didn't like it. So why have they made him run it all the time?
I guess they were telling him Massa was saying it's much quicker and Massa was going quicker. So they were encouraging him to use it, and it looks like it was the wrong decision. If he decided he was much quicker than Massa in China without it, I wonder how quick Massa could have gone if he'd gone with the same setup.
The second thing that Ted said was about Kovalainen, who retired, didn't he, in China?
Yes, early. He pulled over. It wasn't actually too far from the end. They pulled him in.
Yeah, and he'll be getting a new engine. But Ted is slightly suspicious.
Okay, why is that?
He said, as for Heikki Kovalainen's problems, I'm sure he did have an air leak in the engine's pneumatic system, but it looked for all the world like a brake problem that stopped him. First was the small pile of carbon dust that came out of the right front wheel and settled on the pit apron at Heikki's first stop, not to mention the smoke from the brake on the grid.
I see. So McLaren, so they had a brake issue. They pulled him in because it was unsafe.
Yeah.
And then they've twisted that into an engine problem in order to then get a new one for... Brazil.
Possibly.
Sneaky. I like it, Ted. Good find. Good spot.
That wraps up news and views for this week. We will return with all your feedback after this short break. If you don't have the time to trawl through website after website looking for Formula One news, let F1 Minute do the hard work for you. Delivered to your ears every weekday, F1 Minute is 60 seconds of headlines keeping you up to date with drivers, teams, rules, regulations, testing, races, launches, results, quotes, anything you can think of. Visit f1minute.com for all the details and to find the latest show.
Feedback. Hello everyone, inside podcast land is Peter from Australia, Slicks on this website. First everyone, that we love what you do with all your comments and your forums. I just wanted to speak a little bit about loyalty and teams and so forth. And I'm a Ferrari fan through and through. And not a lot of people these days follow drivers wherever they go and so forth. And I guess I come from a football background, soccer or Australian rules football, where you follow your team through thick and thin. And I guess I didn't really like Alonso when he was winning and Ferrari wasn't. And same, I guess, with Lewis Hamilton. He's sort of a nemesis of mine. But you know, if Lewis was to drive for Ferrari, he'd be my companion, I guess, and we'd all go for him. But a lot of people sort of following drivers rather than teams. And I guess that comes from being a loyal supporter. I'm also very disappointed about Canada being dropped off. One of my favourite racetracks, and I guess you saw a lot of hard racing there as well, and I guess it was quite a bit exciting track. All in all, the penalties, I think it's just causing a lot more controversy, and I think the FIA is trying to cause that, and I guess it caused a lot of shouting and yelling in my lounge room while I'm trying to watch a race, and I guess that's what they want. They want more controversy, and I don't think it's right, but I guess that's my opinion on what they're trying to look for as well. Other than that, it was wonderful to actually watch a race in the afternoon in Australia. It was only a couple of hours difference from Japan to Australia, and usually I'm the one getting up at 9 and 10 watching a race throughout to midnight, but and I was actually quite strange on Sunday afternoon, and the race was over and I had nothing else to do for the rest of the night. But they're my comments, and once again, to congratulate you guys on all your hard work, and I'll be keeping on listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter.
That's a brilliant one.
Yeah. Going back to what is one of his original points, is I tend to not follow teams in that respect. And I think we've discussed it in the past. I personally follow drivers.
Yeah.
From team to team.
For instance, Alonso.
To McLaren, yeah. Briefly.
Yeah.
And then I decided I really didn't like McLaren, no matter who was driving for them, and just gave up following anyone the rest of that year. But I have been following Alonso this year. And I think last year I sort of backed Kimi towards the end of the year. And not so. Maybe I'm a fair weather fan, because I've not really followed Kimi at all this year.
Yeah, I think it depends. It's not really fair weather, as in it's only who's doing well, but it's who's trying hard and making the effort.
We're great supporters for the people at the back, too. We should point out that Peter did send that voicemail in after Fuji.
Yes. And we kept it so it'd be special.
We all forgot. By itself.
No, shh.
We forgot. We forgot to play it.
We kept it so it
carried covers. Away with the excitement of China and forgot to play it. So sorry, Peter. Lovely voicemail and special. Thank you.
There was a couple of things I wanted to say. He was saying about how the penalties, whether they just do them to make it more interesting.
Mm.
And I was catching up with the Checkered Flag podcast, and they had Bradley Lord on there.
Right.
And he was saying something interesting about how it might just be that this year they're being really picky, and that in football, which I don't understand, but he said in football you get like two kinds of refs. One is particularly picky, and others just let the game flow.
Sure.
And so it might just be that they're having a picky year.
It's quite weird that they keep changing stewards race on race and they're all being picky, though.
Well, that's true.
Because it's not like one ref who has a certain style.
Yeah.
They're different stewards each time, except for one man who's there every single race, who wasn't there previously.
I had an email this week from James, who went to the Chinese Grand Prix, and he also sent me some pictures, so I'll put them in the Enhanced podcast as I read the email.
Nice one.
He said, "Hi, Christine. As promised, I went to the Shanghai GP. Not that much to report, really. I'm not sure how the race looked on TV, but Hamilton just led from start to finish. The crowd in China is mainly Ferrari fans. There is no real passion from them. Ferrari is just the most famous brand. The facilities in China are quite good, but they did run out of water, beer, and other needed refreshments. The funniest thing I saw was a bunch of Germans chasing a guy with a trolley full of beer." Two things of interest. I was sat at the top of the circuit after what you could call the second straight. At the hairpin, the McLarens were the only cars locking up. I thought Lewis might just have been pushing hard, but Kobe also locked up on every lap. When the Ferraris swapped position, Massa was at least 2 seconds behind in the first part of the lap. When they came round again, he was about 2 seconds in front, and I did feel a little cheated.
Mm.
It's good to hear your podcast, and it makes me feel that little bit closer to home. I've included some picks. Best, James.
Nice picks. Yes, I can see why they feel a little bit cheated.
Yeah.
And I think it was Ollie who pointed out during the last live session we did that it's not fans didn't get to see a real race in China.
Yeah.
And therefore, they have a right to maybe ask for their money back. And that is the problem with team orders. You go to see a race, you don't see two cars racing, you see two cars, one car letting another guy past.
It's pretty bad that China ran out of water. That's quite a necessity.
Yes. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but Stuart in the comments did say that they were short on loos as well.
Yeah.
So the amenities, a lovely looking circuit.
Falls nice, down a little bit.
Yeah, when it comes to the practicalities of it all, they've not quite got it sussed. And you'd have thought after the amount of races they've run there, they should have nailed this by now. Maybe they had a huge influx of fans and that they weren't accounting for all those people, all seven of them, to turn up.
I also had an email from Scott in Italy. He said, "Hi, Christine, just some friendly rivalry trash talk ahead of the last race." Is there such a thing as friendly trash talk? I'm not sure. "As an experiment, I set up my fantasy races before the first race, and I have not made a single change since then. This has nothing to do with laziness, I swear." Okay, maybe just a bit. And by a bit, I mean a lot.
Right.
"I've now bothered to check where I am in our league, and I'm 100th. His team is called Red Bull Gearbox Mechanic. So anyone below this that has bothered to change their teams each week has been wasting their time. And of course, I realise that this includes you. For the record, 2008, as far as I'm concerned, has been all about Kimi, Lewis and Mark. I'd love to see them finish 1, 2, 3 in the final race for me to end this season really well. Thanks for a great service to the community for the Side Podcast Empire. We should get you one of those OBE things or something. I'll talk to the Queen sometime."
Nice one. That's slightly disheartening.
That's mean.
Yes. I suppose it's possible. 100th without changing your team if you pick a good team.
If you pick a good team to start with, then it's bound to happen, isn't it?
Takes the fun out of it.
Me, though. I keep changing to stupid drivers.
Have you got a plan for this coming race?
Not yet.
You will have, though.
I will have.
Oh, yes.
Talking of fantasy races, do you remember I asked for feedback?
Yes.
About the competition.
During the last show.
Yes. Mm. So I did write a blog post and we did get lots of feedback.
Okay.
Which is excellent.
What have you got?
Mostly people said, don't change a thing.
Right.
They like the fact that it's simple. And, you know, it just works.
All is good. Okay.
RG actually said, if we win, which Side Podcast League might do.
May well do that, yep.
Why would we change it? Well, which is a good point.
Yep.
Quite a few people agreed with my thing about just changing the price of the drivers depending on how well they're doing.
Yep, okay.
And also, there were a couple of things about how the number of laps affects the points. Because, right, obviously it depends what circuit you're at.
Ah.
Which is might cause a bit of consternation.
Interesting, yep.
So there were some suggestions, maybe percentages would be better or
that's
something like that.
That's a good point, yep.
But overall, don't change anything.
One thing I did think of, and I didn't put it in the comments, and it's just popped in my head right then, is why are Takuma Sato and Anthony Davidson still in the list?
That's true.
They should just
people
drop
are
off.
Still selecting them.
Yeah, they should drop off. And I often wonder what would happen. We haven't seen it this year, so we just don't know. But what happened if a driver was replaced? Would that driver appear on the list? And then how would they be rated price-wise? Because in theory, if no one's dropping off the list, then no one can come on the list.
Like last year, Wurtz disappeared and Nakajima was only there for once. How much would he cost?
Or would you just pick Wurtz and it would be Nakajima? See, that's weird.
Yeah. What if someone was replaced like very soon after the cutoff point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another good point. We haven't seen that. What if a driver gets replaced on Sunday morning because of an illness or whatever? I guess you just get the points for the guy you picked.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that play out yet. But that just occurred to me. There's no reason for Anthony Davidson or Takuma Sato to be on that list.
Housekeeping.
Last week, while we were streaming live as we record, we had a lot of problems with buffering.
Yes.
That's now like a hate word.
Yes. It seemed to be, it was got to the point when RG said he was going to kill somebody. It was so bad. He wrote everything in
capital letters, yeah.
Yeah. He got a bit stressed about it, and I could see lots of people having that issue. So we did promise last Sunday, rather rashly, as is often the case, that what we're going to do is have our own streaming server.
But it was always part of the plan,
yeah.
But maybe not quite so soon.
Not in the midst of a season.
No.
But true to our word, and mostly by fluke and blind fortune rather than anything else, we've ended up with our own live server, and it seems to be working okay this week. We did a test, and we streamed Inside Track Behind the Scenes yesterday, and that worked well.
Yeah.
And now we're streaming this show live via the medium of our own streaming server, and it seems pretty good. We've had one or two issues. Rich in South Africa is having trouble, and Stephen Roy's a little bit behind. But apart from that, I think we solved that problem.
It's going okay. And the other thing that having our own server will help with is the fact that our website keeps dying constantly.
Yes.
For a few seconds
we
at a time.
We are working on that one, but more than likely we're just going to have to move hosts because they are beyond useless. They've almost got to the point where they don't know how to fix it.
They're saying it's not their fault. So
The latest from the web host is call us up when it goes wrong and we'll see if we can figure out what happened.
But it only goes wrong for about 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, it goes wrong for literally 30 seconds, and it's a expensive call to the States to get them to fix it. So that's nice.
Nevertheless, having our own server will help with things like the parade lap, which is coming back for Brazil.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, I'm not...
Aren't you saying that like as soon as we get up, we're basically put the camera on?
I think that's the plan. I'm pitching for 3 hours.
What?
You're saying two?
I'm not saying two.
Hour and a half? How long do you want to do a parade lap for?
Well, the last one we did was 90 minutes and we ran out of things to say at the end.
Did we?
3 hours?
Yeah, that does that does seem a bit excessive. Maybe we'll go for two.
Maybe.
We meet in the middle at 2 hours.
Maybe.
Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of Brazil goodness.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a bit of a corker. Not the show. Obviously, the show will be the show. But the race is going to be something of a corker.
Really?
It's building up to be a blinding race.
I'm not so sure about that. I think Hamilton's just going to walk it.
Well, you've got Massa now saying that he doesn't feel any pressure and all the pressure needs to be on Hamilton.
Well, he said that I just have to win it. That's the only thing there is.
That's
so I don't have to concentrate on anything else. Whereas Hamilton will be thinking, what if my engine blows up? What if this happens?
There is that. And there was also a rumour I think I saw on Dr. V's links earlier this week that McLaren are thinking of running the engine on a safer setting. So that McLaren basically has no fight. Hamilton has no fight in that engine, but it's guaranteed to get to the end. So worried are they about the reliability. They might essentially make up a setting they've never used before, which is slightly worrying. I do wonder, you know how concerned Hamilton was about the gravel trap in China?
Yeah.
Because it had those bad memories for him.
Yeah.
I wonder if he won't be going to Brazil with some bad memories about the gearbox, and he might be paranoid about that gearbox at every turn. And to make sure that no buttons get pressed by accident and nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
So I think the pressure probably is on Hamilton a little bit more. With Kubica out of it, it's a two-way fight, and I cannot wait for this one.
So what's your prediction then?
Well, what's the weather?
The long-range weather forecast. And by the way, I am so good at weather now.
Really?
I've got it down.
Right. Yep. Okay. You're going to give us the arm movements? Like a high coming in?
That works well on audio.
Okay.
Long-range weather forecast equals storms and showers.
What, for which days?
Both.
Really?
Saturday
and Sunday, storms and showers in Brazil.
Yes.
It's been a long time. The last time we had storms and showers anywhere near Brazil, a lot of cars went flying and the race was stopped early.
Oh dear.
Hmm.
That will be chaos then.
That could be a really interesting finale to this World Championship. We're owed a good race after China, aren't we? The weather into our hands.
So, what's your prediction? Trying to avoid it.
Blimey. What do I think is going to happen? I think Hamilton's going to win the race by a country mile and the Ferraris are probably going to tangle with each other because they haven't done that all year. We haven't had teammates tangling with each other enough this season.
No.
And I suspect they're probably going to get themselves
in a knot. The best we've had is Toro Rosso and Red Bull.
Yes. And that's David Coulthard crashing into most people.
That's
probably.
True. Yes.
That's all we've had, but we haven't had inter-team battles or anything like that at the first corner. Everyone's been far too clean and far too nice, and it's about time somebody crashed into somebody else at the first corner.
I want Massa to win, but I think that Hamilton will, and I think that Hamilton deserves it just as much as any of them do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if Massa did win it, it would be a tainted win. Everyone would say it.
Oh, really? You think the penalties the FIA have given out?
I don't believe that, but I think everyone would say it would be a tainted win, so maybe it's better than Hamilton does get it.
If he just wins it and gets it out of the way.
Yep. So we don't know what time it's actually going to be, but join us for the parade lap.
Oh, tell us what time you want it to be.
I don't know.
No, not you. The people listening. Tell us what time you want it to be. Oh. What time will you turn up? If you're listening to the show now, tell us what time you'll turn up to watch the parade lap.
And we'll start then.
How early should we start? We'll see what the consensus is, and then we'll come on. We'll find some songs. We'll find some games to play. We'll find much merriment and amusement to keep us occupied in the lead up. We'll have a whole Sunday afternoon of Grand Prix stuff for you.